Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Yesterday, on our call, we began discussing Holy Spirit-led spontaneous giving. Dictionary.com, as you may remember, defines spontaneous as coming or resulting from a natural impulse or tendency without effort or premeditation, natural and unconstrained, unplanned of a person, given to acting upon sudden impulses. And catch this, you remember we talked about this yesterday. The last definition is arising from internal forces or causes.
And I also noticed, honey, how it says a natural impulse.
That's
Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Natural because the Holy Spirit lives inside us.
Amen. See, spontaneous giving is without premeditation. It's unplanned. And yes, it arises from the Holy Spirit, the most important of all internal forces or causes. When it comes to Spirit-led spontaneous offerings, we need to remember that where the Holy Spirit directs, He provides. And as you say, He blesses.
Amen. So let's look at another spontaneous giver and see what we can learn from her life. In Matthew 26, verse 7, it says, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." When the woman approached Jesus, Jesus was actually, I guess, was not taking an offering, we could say. He was about to have dinner. But this is what the scripture says. In Matthew 26, starting at verse 7, we're going to go through 11. It says, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" We know who said that, though. It says, "When Jesus understood it, he said to them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always.'" You know, Jesus was pointing out here that there was an opportunity at this moment in time, and the woman seized it. And if we were to go into this, honey, we would find out that it was really preparing him for his burial. But the disciples and those around him did not see it. In Matthew 26, continuing in 12 and 13, it says, "For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for her a memorial of her." Hallelujah. "The woman's harvest for the seed she was sowing produced an amazing harvest, for she was literally memorialized in Scripture for the spontaneous seed she sowed. They may not have seen it, but God, through Jesus, explained it to them."
Amen. You know, honey, I wonder how many other women had an alabaster box in their home that night, but they didn't go where Jesus was. I wonder how many men went right by Jesus, but didn't take advantage of their opportunity. Some people have said this woman was lucky. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. She took advantage of Jesus being around. Now let's go back to verse 7 and look at a few things. Scripture says, "There came unto him a woman." There was nobody around that said, "You ought to go do this." There was no offering being taken. This woman heard that Jesus was at someone's house, and something rose up inside of her and said, "That's my master, and I'm going to take my precious ointment over to him. If I don't, he's sitting down eating, and it doesn't matter. I don't care. If he's in a conversation or not, doesn't matter. I have something that I want to do, and I'm not going to let this time pass me by."
Mm.
I can imagine her saying something like that.
That's it.
She went to the house with the sole purpose of blessing Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this next sentence. In fact, you may even want to write it down so you can get it inside of you. Here it is. When we make blessing others our priority, then Jesus make blessing us his priority.
I like that. Sowing and reaping.
That's it. When we make blessing others our priority, then Jesus will make blessing us his priority. When we make blessing others our priority, then blessing us becomes his priority. He's going to figure out ways to get blessing and increase to us. The scripture says this woman had an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, this particular account is mentioned in other portions of scripture. Some of the gospel accounts list the ointment's value at 300 pence. If you study a little bit of history, you'll learn that the ointment she had was very expensive. This 300 pence, translated into the wages of today, would be roughly equivalent to 1 year's wages. This ointment came from money that she'd saved for a whole year to buy this ointment. Can you imagine spending your year's salary to buy Chanel number 7? Now, we can understand verse 8 when it says, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. Why did the disciples get mad that Jesus got a big offering? We have to be careful not to let this happen to us, not just with men of God, but with other believers as well. When someone comes to testify, by faithfulness and obeying God, I've gone from making $1,000 a month to $3,500 a month. We in the pews shouldn't pout. We should shout. When somebody gets blessed, it's not time to get upset or mad. It's time to be glad because God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Scripture says, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. Now, notice they messed up the theology right here. They said, to what purpose is this waste? Now, we're going to ask you a question, and you can give us a response. What did the disciples call this very expensive offering that was given to Jesus? They called it a waste. Now, we're going to show you something that will bring a little revelation on this. Notice that it goes and says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me. Why did the disciples call it a waste? Why did Jesus call it a good work? What does that communicate to us in here and now? It communicates that when we obey God and do what we're told to do, then we're going to have others come up to us and say, what are you doing with your money? Why are you giving so much to the church? We also want you to notice that that Jesus disagreed with disciples. He said, you call it waste, but I call it a good work. Some other translation says he called it a beautiful thing. I wonder, in that situation, who's going to bring a return, the disciples or Jesus? See, it doesn't matter what the disciples said. It only matters what Jesus said it was. If he said it was a good work, then he's going to bring a good work back into your life. You don't have to worry about what other people say. Don't back up from the blessings of God. Jesus didn't back up when the disciples said it was a waste. Jesus didn't say, well, you're right. Sister, I wish you hadn't have done this. No, he said, leave this woman alone. Now, let's go over to John 12:4, because this brings a little more enlightenment to the text we've been looking at.
Now, this text in John isolates Judas Iscariot as the one who spoke up, but yet the other text tells us that disciples were in the situation with him. So they could have been thinking the same thing, but Judas is a spokesperson. But I want you to think about this thing before I read this. Think about who it is that you're joining forces with. Maybe you need to think it through for yourself. In John 12, verses 4 through 11, it says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." The Bible tells us that Judas said, "To what purpose was this waste? We could have sold it and given it to the poor," not because he cared for the poor, but because he wanted the 300 pence for himself. So if we go back to Matthew 26, verses 10 and 11, where Jesus says, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." I want you to notice that many of those who have a cross-reference in their portion of Scripture, it'll take you over to Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, where it says, "The poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land." We can notice a couple of very interesting things here. When this woman gave, the disciples said that it was a waste because it could have been given to the poor. Jesus did not say, "You're right. We shouldn't have received it. We should have given to the poor." No, Jesus was saying that there was certain opportunities that you do take advantage of because they're not going to be around all the time like him in this particular situation. There was going to be certain opportunities for advancement and progress. And when they present themselves, yes, when they present themselves, we'll have to take advantage of them and recognize them at the time that they come.
You know, we're sure that this lady, the lady who anointed Jesus, could have had the thought to keep that year's wages, sell it, put it in the stock market. She may well have said, "Well, you don't know, my baby's getting a little older. I got to finance college. I need to put it into a college fund." Don't misunderstand. God wants us to invest. God wants us to save for college, but not at the expense of disobeying his spontaneous direction.
Well, we never know, but what that might be the seed that we're planting that will actually bring forth the college account.
In the last month or two, I told the story of a partner of ours. I was standing in Birmingham, Alabama airport. She called and said, "You know, my daughter's starting school to university, and I don't have enough money to pay for it. I've got $21,000, and I won't cover it. So I'm going to turn that seed to meet the need." Within 2 weeks later, a family friend came to her and said, "You know, I feel stirred that I need to pay half the college expenses for your daughter for all 4 years. And not only that, when your other daughter goes to college 3 years later, I'm going to do the same thing for her." See, she was moved to do something spontaneous and received a huge blessing. Don't short circuit what God wants for your life. Listen to his voice and do what he says. Be spontaneous.
Hallelujah.
Go to HaroldHerring.com, check out this week's 2-minute video. And if you've been blessed with the teaching at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says, that's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.